Brother DeLong has been refreshing to be around this week, and it's just been good to renew fellowship with him and all the different places he's been. You know, it's just everywhere he's been, he has enhanced a ministry and built something. And so it's no surprise to me to see God still using him as he has these years now with PIMI, before that in Australia, before that in Trinidad and Tobago, before that in New Guinea, before that in Fairhaven, and just during that time at Gospel Light. Just one of those men, just God's with him and God blesses him. And so it's been good to have him this week. Brother Jones, you're up tonight, so you and your family or your wife or whoever's coming, and we will hear the song, and then when he's done, they're done, we will hear from Brother DeLong the final message of this year's conference. Brother, we're glad that you're here. Come on up.
Shadows fall. I know where it leads. My Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befalls. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned. Sunshine tomorrow, shadows may break and flee. 'Twill be the way He chooses, the Father's plan for me. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I'll trust Him whatever befalls. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned. My faltering footsteps along the weary way. For well He knows the pathway will lead to endless day. I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. A day of light and gladness, on which no shade shall fall. 'Tis this at last awaits me. My Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all.
Good. Amen. Well, Marty, good to see you. Maude there. You've aged, she hasn't. And just thought I'd get that in there for you. And but Marty, I can tease him a little bit because we're both Ohio State fans. And so... And I've got a friend here, Joe LeBate. Guido is his name. He is this man's father-in-law, and I've known Guido. He's 57 years old, and I was his mentor years ago, so I must be at least 70. But I'm 63. He's about my age, but good to see him here tonight. Well, let's look in our Bible tonight, Acts chapter 16. Now, I hope this goes well. I've never preached this message before, so let's hope it goes well. Amen? So, Brother Hilton Biddle, I'm just, what? You know B.J. Nibby? You get to know him. Get him right with God, you know. He'll help you out over there. Now, folks, I'm going to preach tonight a message about your theme. I don't know if I'll hit the mark or not, but, you know, I've made mistakes in the past. How about you? Huh? I've made mistakes in the ministry. I hope I don't make one tonight, but I was traveling, preaching over in Okinawa, Philippines and Japan and New Guinea back in 94-95. And I had to go through China. Now, I wasn't Beijing. It was that one, Chuxing or something like that. and had landed there to get on Air China to come back to get to Hawaii somehow. And remember the Unabomber? How many remember the Unabomber? Well, they was after him, and I guess he was about my size, bald-headed guy with a beard. And they didn't know where he was. Well, when I landed in China, I was flying on Cathay Pacific and was going to China Air. They took me and four Marines and locked us in a room with our luggage and our passports. And they put us in a waiting room about this big in the middle of this airport. And they said, we're going to go through all your luggage because we may think one of you may be the Unabomber. Well, I was the only guy without a uniform on, so, you know, they're kind of looking at me. So they put us in this waiting lounge, and they put some Chinese people in with us that was going to other countries. And I hadn't had a bag of potato chips or a Diet Coke or USA Today for about 2 weeks. And they had it there in that room. And I went over there, and I bought me a Diet Coke, and I bought me a bag of Lay's potato chips and a USA Today. And I sat down at the coffee table and getting stuff out of my bag there, and I got my paper out and started to read it. And as I did, I heard somebody open up my bag of potato chips. I dropped my newspaper down, looked across the coffee table, and this Chinese lady's getting into my bag of potato chips. And I said, excuse me. I pulled them right out of her hand. She looked at me and said, hang on, hang on. And I said, these are mine. And I took a couple in my mouth and I sent them over by my coat, took a drink and kept an eye on her and put my paper back up. Started to read. And I heard that bag of potato chips move again. I dropped the paper and she's about halfway getting ready. Excuse me. Pulled it right out of her hand. Took the other chip out of her other hand. Mine. Mine, 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 mine. She's going, he got. I don't know what you're saying, but these are my potato chips, and you go buy your own, okay? These are mine. Hang. Mine in the trash. Good. She gets up and goes, hey, and marched off. No problem. I didn't care. My potato chips, my pop. Well, the authorities came in and said I wasn't a Unabomber and gave me my stuff back. Burn out all our shaving stuff. They blew it up and everything, you know. Put us on our plane and sitting there and going down the runway and taking off, you know, and get about, you know, 8,000-9,000 feet in the air. Ding! You know, you can get up and walk around, you know. Well, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to preach in Okinawa for Dan Gardner, so I'm going to start studying a little bit. And I reached in my, get my Bible out and reached in to get my notebook out, and there was my bag of potato chips. Yeah. So if I do bad tonight, just think there's a bag of potato chips. I've never been back in China, and he may mother invite me back again. Amen. So when I say we've done wrong, haven't we? So I'll never go to China again. There's a lady laying there for me, going to get me. But let's take a look at this tonight, a few minutes. This is a missions church. You love the Lord. And God has blessed your ministries here because of that. And there's other reasons. But tonight I want to look at this Macedonian call. You've entitled it here, the Nighttime Need. And I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is in charge of all of this. And I want to do this. May God touch your hearts tonight and mine in answering His call to support missions, to send, or be sent. But God calls and speaks to all of us. Let's take a look at this verse 9 tonight and understand that Paul is here and him and Silas and Timothy's on this trip and they're wanting to serve God and they're wanting to go here. Now watch this. Paul, look up here. Paul wants to go here. Watch me now. Paul wants to go here. Paul wants to go here. And Paul knows God and Paul loves God. But Paul wants to go here. All right. Paul wants to go to Asia and he wants to go to my Asia. He wants to go here. And every time he wanted to go here, the Holy Spirit said no. Look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight see the urgency of this call. And Lord, touch our hearts tonight, Lord, to see that we'll understand what this call is all about. And Lord, we'll see tonight things that are undone in our lives in order to get Your will done. And understand when we do Your will, according to Your will, Your Word is unstoppable. And I pray You give us a heart tonight for missions and ministry in and through this church. And Father, we pray these things in Your name. Amen. Let's look at four things tonight real quick. I want to try to be done by at least 9 o'clock. Amen. I got to be heading towards the airport about 4:15 in the morning, right? And Nick, you got the short straw. Don't you sleep in on me now. Amen. Okay. So I'll be ready to roll. But look with me the first thing, and I'll give you four thoughts. And here's the first one. The Macedonian call was an urgent call. Look at verse 9. It says, come over into Macedonia and help us. Before that, it says praying him. That means begging him, saying, would you please come? And I want you to come. It's an urgent call. You look at verse 10. It says, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Three thoughts about this urgency. Number one, for the gospel. It's not rocket science. Amen. The gospel. You know, the Bible tells us in the Great Commission that goes on in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, when Jesus is speaking, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, I want you to understand this message tonight is about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. It goes on that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, it's to give the gospel out. For God so loved the world that He gave His what? Only begotten Son. And Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to what? Seek and save that which was lost. I tell you, folks, it's about the gospel. Now, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to say something here. There's missions out there that if you buy a well or a hog, dog, or frog, you've really done something. Amen? And they've got this micromanaged missions business. They'll go out and go into an area in a village and give everybody a $5 loan, and then they'll give them a sheep, and then it's called economic biblical outreach. It's not biblical. Amen? If it's not, like you said, church planting and the gospel, all that other stuff is secondary. Amen? I just want you to understand, when God called into Macedonia, it was not to sell wells, or it was not to dig holes, or it wasn't to teach people how to fish. All those things are fine. It wasn't even medical mission, and all those things are fine. But it says there in verse 10, to preach the gospel. Amen? Now, number two, here's a second thing I want you to see for why the call was urgent. It was for church planting. Look at chapter 2, verse 41. We're going to be in Acts all night tonight, but look at chapter 2, verse 41, as they're getting things rolling there in the book of Acts in their church planting. It says, and that they gladly received His word and were baptized. And the same day they were adding to them about 3,000 souls. You see, once folks got saved, they got baptized, and they added to them, what's them? To the church. It's rolling, it's going, church planting. And who was them? It's the church of, and they used to call them the Wayans. And then in Antioch, they first called them Christians, all right? Now, the Wayans, they were called Way because they was in the way, always witnessing. Then they got some people saved, and then they got some people baptized, and then they give them the apostles' doctrine. And then you know what? Why it was so urgent? Because they needed to have a testimony for God in this ungodly world. Amen? Hey, you see ISIS, all the news they get, huh? When's the last time you saw a lot of Christians getting a lot of news? Man, the devil don't want any of that to get out, amen? But I'll tell you this, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And the Holy Spirit was guiding this Macedonian call. Oh, Paul wanted to slide up to Mysia, and he wanted to go into Asia. And every time the Holy Spirit said, no, no, suffer did not, he just flat out said, no, don't go there. I tell you, when you walk with God, you'll find God's direction, and God will put an urgency in you. And here's the urgency, a testimony to do and be something for God. Where'd you get to that, preacher? Chapter 2, look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm telling you, watch, when you go out soul winning, you get a church going. And I've done one in Australia. I've done one several in New Guinea. I've done one in Trinidad and Tobago. None of them are the same. Yet the only difference is accent, skin color, and culture. Amen? You say, that's not a lot. People are looking for Christ. And so we've got to get this urgency in us. Over the years in our independent fundamental Baptist works, the urgencies went down a little bit. 24,000 missionaries preach. I don't know if I said this. In 1984, 24,000 independent Bible-believing Baptist missionaries coming out of the United States going across the world. There's 14,000 today. Yet we have more Bible colleges. We're supposed to have more churches. You know what's going on? We've lost that urgency. When MacArthur took over Japan and Japan capitulated, he put a call out to all the churches. And there were the Southern Baptists and Independent Baptists, every church in America. He put a call out, we need missionaries sent to Japan to get them to turn into what we are. The first 8 years, preacher, only three missionaries went. Only three. What would have happened if 100 went in there? Amen? What would have happened that when God opens that door? Urgency means that every missionary, and I saw it this week with these four younger missionaries, they've all got that urgency. And they all got that stirred emotion. I mean, Hiltabill, you're there already, amen? But you got to go through the process, you know. Brother Jones and all of them, Norton's already been there. And that's a good sign. When missionaries want to stay in the U.S. or when they don't have this burden, they're kind of laid back. Something kind of scares me a little bit. I've seen them scared a little bit. They went somewhere to serve them. They're home within 6 months because it wasn't what they thought it was. Amen. I just want to encourage you, if the Holy Spirit has stirred you, the Holy Spirit's put this in you, you're going to have an urgency that you're out of place till you get there. Are you listening to this? Paul wanted to go here. Paul wanted to go here. Paul wanted to go here. And that Macedonian vision, God said, no, I want you to go to Macedonia. I want you to end up in Philippi. And you know what he did? Look at verse 10 back in our text. And I'm going to get that. I want you to understand. I want you to see this. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but Paul had something inside him I wish we all had. It said, we assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel nowhere else but to them. You see, the Holy Spirit had to get a hold of Paul's heart. Had to get a hold of his consciousness, touched his emotion, convicted him, and convinced him. And he listened. And he had a relationship with God that drove him to do it. Amen? I am not called to Romania. Praise God. I'm not called to Alaska. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm called where I'm at. And that's where my sweet spot is. And that's where I want to be. And I don't understand everything, but I told a little message here Sunday about the first village I went into, they gave me 12 pews in the pulpit. Remember that? Well, about 3 years went by. I was there in Port Moresby. And I was preaching on a Sunday morning. We had a visitor. And his name was Hanawa. He was an older man. And he had two bags of mud crab with him. And he brought that for the church offering. We weren't used to that. He said, Pastor, missionary, I need to see you afterwards. So I got done preaching and everybody left. He said, my name is Hanawa. I'm from Gorohu, 2-hour truck ride and a 2-hour boat ride up the Brown River. We have a village of almost 2,000 people. And I'll tell you what, I am a deacon at a United Church there. And I don't believe the guy preaches the gospel anymore. I said, what happens? Well, he gets drunk on weekends. The preacher does. And he's starting to preach that you can lose your salvation. All right. Then he says you will lose your salvation if you do not tithe. Now, Missionary DeLong, I don't know the whole Bible, but I don't think those things are true. What do you think? And I know that's true. He said, show me where I can't lose my salvation. And I did. He said, I think I believe you. He said, next week I'm going to come back to town and bring my 5 unsaved brothers. Will you witness to them? I said, well, I could. You bring them to me. He said, we need help. My family needs help. My village needs help. Will you help us? I said, you come to me, I'll help you. All right? Didn't think I'd ever see him again. All right? He went away. Now let's take a look at our second point tonight before I go on with that story. Look, it was an understood call. Understand, it's an urgency. Macedonian call says, come help us praying. Come help us tonight. Come help us, please come. And Paul said, we endeavored. Look at verse 10. Immediately, we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Assuredly gathering. Those two words, assuredly and gathering, means be understood or to understand. Why did the Holy Spirit want them to go there? Because God wanted the gospel preached to them. It says in verse 10 that He called us for to preach the gospel. And what did the Holy Spirit do? He touched Paul's heart. He touched Luke's heart. He touched Timothy's heart. You know, it's not rocket science. If you look at verse 10 a little deeper, it says they just went there and preached the gospel. Amen? I want you to understand what's going on here. The why, the what, and where did they go? Look what it says here. It said in verse, let's drop up here in verse, look in verse, let's go back up to verse 11. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, Trisaia, and the next day to Nepopolis, and from thence to Philippi. This is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. That's where God wanted us. Why? What? Where? Now, how does the Holy Spirit work? The power of the Holy Spirit was in Paul's life. They were normal men, just like you and I. They did not walk on water. They probably had toothaches. They probably had headaches. They probably had bunions. Amen? And, you know, I'm just as normal guys. But the Bible says here that when they got saved, that the power of the Holy Spirit came into our life in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And we need to see that and understand that what's going on here, that God will use these men. And I want you to understand this. To understand the Macedonian call, God wants to use you. Listen with me now. Number one, there's a plan. Wait, what about that plan? Look at chapter 2 with me. Look at verse 37 in the book of Acts. I want you to see this. Look at verse 30. Let's stop at verse 37. Now when they had heard this, this was Peter was preaching at this time, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hey folks, this is not rocket science, is it? I mean, you've got to understand that Paul knew what he was doing in Macedonia, that if he would preach the plan of salvation, he would give them the avenue of repentance. And once they got saved and trusted Christ as their Savior, they would get baptized to show ownership to God Almighty, and that Holy Spirit, watch this, promised they would take care of them. Look at the second thing. Look at the purpose. Look at chapter 2, verse 41. The same chapter here, it says, then they were gladly received the word, were baptized. To understand baptism, folks, you need to be saved first. And after you get saved and you get baptized, discipleship, it teaches you the apostles' doctrine. Then it says they were added to the church and you become part of the church. The plan's to get you saved. The purpose to get the church going. Now here's the program. Look at verse 46. Look how focused these people were. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now back in those days, they didn't go three to thrive. Three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They went every day. And in Australia, if they go Sunday morning, that's great. That's once a week. And when we went there, we started Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Man, I'm telling you what, they looked at us and goes, wow, what are you doing that for? Well, that's why it shouldn't be done. They said, oh, that's too much. You ain't got too much religion. No. Hey, biblically here, they went every day. Amen. Now look here what they did every day. It says, and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were focused, praising God and having favor with all the people. No headaches. No problems. On the same page, spiritual. You've got to understand salvation, sanctification, service. Look at verse 46. They were focused daily, gladness, continuing, unity, singleness of heart. I mean, they were dripping wet with an independent, fundamental Bible Baptist church with something going on. Amen? Now, you travel a lot and preach. I do too. I've been in churches like this, and this one has got it going on. Amen? I'm just not bragging on you because I've been in some that didn't have it going on. I thought I was at last week's funeral about a month ago. I said, now tonight we'll look at God's Word. Amen? What'd He say? He's a little loud. Good night. You come to a church like this that has a program. Outreach. I see the buses. I see the kids. I see your ministries. I see the Spanish ministry. You know, I was talking to Joe up there where he's at. They got nursing home, bus ride. They got it going on. Amen? You can tell a church is healthy if they're there every day trying to do something for God. Ohana went back home, Hanawa, to Gorhu, the guy I told you about. He's about this tall. And when he talks, his eyes talk with him. You ever meet somebody like that? And, you know, he just draws you in with his eyes. He come to my house. It was 11 o'clock at night. Had his five brothers with him. He's the oldest and the shortest. But in Australia, or New Guinea, age is rules, okay? You never mess with the elders. And if you got an uncle, you never use his name. He's always called uncle. If you don't, you get whipped. I'm just saying that's how they do it there. And auntie, it's aunt. Never use her name. And so, Hanwha showed up and he tried to get in my house and we had guards protecting us. And they wouldn't let him get to me. about 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night. And I heard the noise outside, and I walked out, and my guard said, Meshach said, he was my guard, Meshach. He said, oh, Pastor Dan, these guys want to get to you. They're little kind of guys, and they all got machetes, and they're from Gorahu. Don't trust them. I said, that's okay. I've talked to Hano. He's in trouble. Oh, he's that little, yeah, okay. Guy talks with his eyes, said, that's him. Let him come up. He brought, my front porch was 12 feet in the air, about big as this platform. And I had Hano and his five brothers sitting out there at midnight. I got him some oxen palm, that's tin fish, rice, and some crackers and some Coke. And Sandy went to bed and the boys were sleeping. And he said, Pastor, we couldn't get here till now. Our boat broke down on us, but we need somewhere to sleep. But I want you to give them the gospel now. So I give them the gospel and I was done. And he said, now explain to them where they can't lose their salvation back there in 1 John. And we taught that. 2 hours later, about 2:30 in the morning, all five men trusted Christ as their Savior. God's good, isn't he? Then I said, let's go to bed. All right. And they slept on that porch. They just lay right out there. And come back the next morning, you know. And they hadn't taken a bath for a while. Amen. And I said, boys, we got showers over there, so we get cleaned up and stuff. And we met afterward on that Saturday morning. 2 more hours of discipleship lessons and stuff. And I didn't think I'd ever see them again. It was one of those emotional things. And Hanoa said, we'll be back. We'll be back. You know, I want to tell you something. God's call is urgent. And we begin doing things like that. You begin to understand how God works. Amen. Let's look at our third point tonight. And that is this. It's called the undone call. The undoing of some things. Look at chapter 16 with me in our text tonight. Let's drop down there in verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia. See, Paul's going to be preaching in Phrygia. And the region of Galatia. He wanted to preach in Texas and Oklahoma. Okay. But we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Can't go there, all right? And Paul says, all right, and after that, we got to go somewhere, man. We got missionary support. We got to look busy. And if they come to my Asia, and they essay to go to Bithynia, yeah, we're going to go over there to Kansas to preach, all right? But what, look here in verse 7. But the Spirit suffered them not. It said no. And they, passing by my Asia, came down to Troas. Seeking to what God wanted them to do. And then that's when it happened. See, Paul had his plans in verse 6. Undone. Not going to do that. Luke had his plans, directions in verse 6. That came undone. Timothy traveled along as a young preacher boy, all excited to go to those places. Well, that came undone. He learned later on in the chapter, and we'll show a couple of things, that other things became undone. So he ends up in Philippi, and the first Sunday morning they're there, they nowhere to meet, and they're in a colony in a Roman area and a bunch of heathen, but they heard somebody's having a Bible study down by the creek. So they went down by the creek, join me in verse 14. You're going to see some things that were undone there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, was worshiped God, heard us. See, they was down there by the river. And the Bible said this, that whose heart the Lord opened. Wow. Hey, who convicted her? God did. Holy Spirit. Who opened her heart up? Holy Spirit did. Who brought Paul there to get her saved? Holy Spirit did. Some things were being undone. Amen. This is bigger than what Paul wanted. And she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. She paid attention, got saved. Now watch closer, verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, her whole house got saved. And she was a good Baptist. Amen. Look what she did here next. And she besought us, saying, if we have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Hey, you're going to stay with us, preacher. Missionary, we're going to support you. I tell you what, I've said everything you said. So I used to be going on, before I met you today, I was on my way to hell. Before I met you today, I come down here to worship God. And I wanted to find God. And God brought you here on the right day, at the right time. And I attended to the things. I trusted Him as a personal Savior. Before you showed up this morning, I'm on my way to hell. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Some things are undone. Look a little closer in this chapter here. I want you to see this. Look at verse 16, the damsel. This all happens right there in Philippi, man. It's going on there. You talk about a ministry. It came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of deviation met us, which brought us her master's much gain by soothsaying. She was a fortune teller, you know. You can go down to Chicago and what, the palm readers, you know. People actually go in those places. I look at that and go, how dumb can you be? Dumber than I thought. But anyway, look at verse 17. And the same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these men are of the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Look at the devil's crowds even saying, hey, got it going on here. But some things are going to become undone here. Look at verse 18. And this they did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they were undone. Upset, mad, curtains, the good guys are going to go to jail. It's all going to fall apart. We're going to lose. We need to go back to mama. No, God's just starting. Understand this. You young missionaries understand things are going to take place. Don't you run when the first bullet flies. Don't you run the first time they cuss you out. Don't you buckle when they say, we're going to deport you. You just kind of stand there and say, well, I'll tell you what, this is going to work out okay. Now, God's with me. He's going to be fine. You don't have to get your credentials. You don't have to call the Marines. You got God on your side. Amen. This is bigger than anything else going on. If God has called you there, God will keep you there. God will protect you while you're there. I want you to understand, in this thought, it's a lot of things came undone. Well, they ended up in jail, did they not? God's just warming up. Look at verse 19. Or let's go down quicker because of time. Let's go down to verse 30. And you know, they went to jail. They got beat up and whipped and everything. And then that earthquake took place. And then they brought them out and said, sirs, the jailer said, the head man said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make a long story short, the jailer was in charge of them. They'd been beaten up. They're put in that dungeon. And what are they doing at midnight? Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, and I am in the Lord's army. I may never hop like a kangaroo. But I know what they were singing. And then that earthquake came. Guess who was in charge of that earthquake? I think God was. Amen. And of course, the jailers, if they had anybody escape, in those days, the jailers didn't go to court to prove their innocence. They were killed the next morning by the Roman higher-ups. Because if some guys that were on death row or some guys that were in prison escaped, we're just not going to deal with it. Jailer, you are going to die. Because those jailers made everything happen right. So there's this earthquake. The jailer thought they all were going to escape. Paul and them said, no, stay right here. Everything's going to be okay. And he jumped in the cell. You're not leaving? Nope. God's in charge of all this. And he said this. Somehow in the singing, somehow in Paul and Silas' testimony inside that prison, he had heard the gospel. What do I got to do to get saved? Repent of your sins. I'll do that. Things were undone. Is that true? Now watch me. And then they all went to his house that night. And his whole house got saved. His family got saved. And Paul and them got their baths, right? And they got their wounds healed. And they ate and he baptized them. And then they took them back to jail the next morning. And the magistrate said, I just let them sneak out. Paul said, no way, Jose. We're Romans. You put us in there. You take us out. And they were saving that jailer's hide. Because it was on the magistrates and not the jailer. Isn't this so good? Now watch me on this. God will undo things to get His gospel where He wants it. Amen? God will undo sinners and get them on their way to heaven. God will turn lives around. Do you believe me in that? Well, Hannah was showed up about 2 weeks later. Had his youngest brother with him. Their 2-year-old daughter was full of cerebral malaria. She was about dead. We were about an hour drive from the hospital. We rushed her to that hospital. She spent 2 weeks in there. We spent every day with her. And she got better. You know, this Macedonian call will undo some things in our lives. You know, it changed Paul's direction. It changed Lydia's decisions. And Paul's life. And it changed that that damsel's display. And the doom that all they were facing. By the time Paul and them got done with them, they all were on their way to heaven. And I saw that little girl, Hannah was little niece, almost die. And then the process of this, we were a witness to them. And they were watching us. And they're watching how the DeLongs, these missionaries, how they would spend time every day in that hospital to help that little girl. And they didn't even have money to buy her medicine. And we would buy it. And make a long story short, she got on her feet. She got feeling better. She got her bounce back. And 14 days later, she was dismissed from the hospital and she went home. I'm telling you what, they thanked us. They brought me 2 baskets full of mud crabs. I'm not going to eat bushels of mud crabs. So I didn't even know how to open them up, so I give them away to people. But that's the only thing they could give me to say thank you. You see, she was going this way, dying. when we got done with her, she's going this way, living. Are you listening? And then when you missionaries, when you guys support missionaries, their whole area, they're all going this way. But when they hear the gospel, things become undone. And they go to Jesus. Amen. They're on their way to heaven. That's what missions is about. Can I give you the last thought tonight? And that is this. And I've got to hurry. Is the Macedonian call that came at night was unstoppable. It was unstoppable. I want you to see this with me. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, the Macedonian call, when Paul answered it to preach the gospel unto them, it says in verse 14, that chapter, that the God, when Lydia heard about God, the Lord opened up her heart and she attended to the things. She listened to the gospel. You look at verse 9 and 10, that the Holy Spirit, He gets a hold of Paul's heart and Luke's and Timothy's, and He called them, and they followed the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, you go back there, Lydia's household, their hearts were changed. You look at verse 22 through verse 30. I don't have time to do it, but it's about the jailer and the prison and Paul and them just having the right testimony. And at the end of it, when everything they thought was lost, he said in verse 30, "What must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, watch this, straightway. Right then. Didn't wait a week. Happened right there. Now, isn't that great? That's fantastic. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. The gospel cannot be stopped. Cannot be stopped. It's not rocket science. ISIS is trying to stop it now in the Middle East, trying to scare everybody in Europe. Is that not true? Communism tried to stop it. Amen. The Reformation before that, they tried to stop it. And every time they tried to destroy the Bible, my Bible tells me, thy word. This is the only thing that's going to make it through, folks. God's word. I want you to understand, when you give God's word to people and you've got a right heart and the Holy Spirit's with you, I guarantee you, things are going to change. There'll be an urgency. There'll be an understanding. And I want you to understand, there'll be some things that are undone. Some, you know, people on the way to hell, now on the way to heaven. And the last thing is, it is unstoppable. I want to encourage you, don't give up on your ministries here at this church. If you're not involved in the ministries, get involved in them. Amen. Your missions, and you're a missions-minded church, you know, and you understand missions. If God has spoke to your heart to give more to missions this year, do that. There's a reason. You can't see the future. But when I was here in 1995, God called us, and what I'm preaching about, Hanawha, it's all from you guys starting to support me in 95 and support me clear through today. And I could not see it then. Boy, I can see it now. Hanawha went back to the village. And that little girl went back with her uncle and her daddy. And I was at the hospital a month later, and that little girl was brought in, almost dead. My wife was with me. We're there with them, and the girl dies in her mother's arms before she got in to see the doctor in the emergency room. Malaria had eaten her up. Destroyed her. They didn't have any money. There's no morgue. What are we going to do? And I said, well, you come with us. And that woman was beside herself crying. She couldn't control herself, and she handed the dead baby to my wife. My wife had to hold that dead baby for an hour in her lap from the hospital to our house. They don't teach you this stuff at Bible college. I didn't see this when God called us there. But God has an open door. God called us. Took that little body and wrapped her in a blanket, put her in our deep freeze. Went down and bought a new igloo cooler. My wife took her mom and went and got a dress. We waited 3 days to get everything arranged back at the village. Had to get her froze hard. 2 hours in the truck. 2 hours to the village on a boat. We had to pack her in ice. Village of 2,000. We put her on that truck. And my wife and my son, they went with me, could only go part way. We had canoes take us up the river. We come to the village. And I carried that little igloo cooler, that little body in it. put it in a room about this size. It was the village house, the big house. No furniture, nothing. 500 women sitting on the floor. And I put the baby right there and opened the lid. Just to prove that she was in there. And I closed the lid. And Hannah was said, "Now you preach and tell them where her soul is." And I preached to them Jesus. 50 ladies trusted Christ as their Savior. Crying, mourning. Preacher's got to take the body out. About 100 yards away from that building. Had 6-8 shovels there, and I'm the first one to start digging. Then her dad starts digging. Then the uncle start digging. An hour later, we got a hole about 6 foot deep, about 4 foot wide. Put that cooler down in there. Tradition is the preacher throws the first piece in there. Then the dad. Then the mom. And then we bury her. Little makeshift stone, had her name on it, and date. You know they don't teach you this stuff at Bible school. I was walking away to go back to the home, and Hanawa said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." We went to his house and sat under it with his 5 brothers and said, "We want to start a church. The village will give us the ground she's buried on. Give us about 100 yards by 100 yards. It's ours. Instead of burying anybody else there, can we start a church? Because the guy in this village does not believe, but we believe." I said, "Yeah, you can start a church, but we want you to be our missionary." "Whoa, say what?" And he said, "You said God called you here. I'm asking you for help." "Amen?" I said, "Well, I know where I got 12 pews and I got a pulpit. You got people." Within a month, we put a building up about big as this area right here. 6 poles that way, 6 poles that way, 20 feet wide. 6 across the top, tarp on the side, banana leaves on top. Had 44 people for church service. Amen? Those 5 brothers, their wives and their kids, that's all it came. Went back there in a month with my mother and father-in-law, my wife from Iowa. Thought I was going to have a great service, and the other preacher met us, and there was going to be a fight. He was trying to stab me when I got out of the boat because they'd started a church. Hanawa said, "Get back in the boat. We'll take care of this." And had Hanawa and his clan with spears facing the preacher from the United Church with their spears. And I was scared to death. The little white bull-headed guy going down the river. And I thought Hanawa was going to lose. I thought we was going to lose everything. He came over in 3 days and said, "We won." I said, "You didn't kill anybody, did you?" No. The village elders saw that that preacher was drunk and mistreating people. They ran him out. Now we are the official church of the village. Now watch this. Fast forward to last spring. I hadn't seen Hanawa in 10 years. I thought he was dead. He thought I was dead. And he heard I was in the country. He came. I preached. I gave him a Bible. And he said, "Pastor, we need more help." I said, "Why?" He said, "Our church has grown to almost 400. He said, "I'm 72. I take new glasses when I go to New Guinea because they don't have glasses. And he says, "I know you got new glasses. You always..." "Yeah, I brought 5 or 6 pairs. Here's one to fit. Did you get me a new Bible?" "I got a large print Bible." "Oh, Pastor." He said, "I thought you was dead." I said, "I thought you was dead." He said, "Well, I'm going to be shortly." And he's old for a New Guinean. He said, "We need an American. We need a missionary to come in here. We need a preacher. He thinks we've got him under rocks over here." He said, "Can you bring me one? Can you send me one? We need a young one. Don't need an old one like you. We need a younger one." "So why do you need it?" He said, "We got a Christian school. You know the oldest brother?" "Yeah." "Well, he's the principal." "Yeah, we got a school here of 150, Pastor Dan. 150 out here in the woods." "Yeah. We use AC curriculum. Take a look at this. And he's doing that with 4 or 5 people. I don't know what they're doing. We need a missionary. We need help." I just want to encourage you. The Macedonian call is not just for Acts chapter 16. It's for all of us. It is unstoppable. Amen? Yes. To do what God wants us to do, we've got to undo some things in our life. Amen? And we've got to understand that it's the gospel that God wants to get. And then there's got to be an urgency. No use to wait till next week. No use to wait till next month. We need to do it now. And Paul says, when we heard that, we endeavored immediately gathering understanding that they wanted the gospel of the Lord preached to them now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. A little longer message tonight, a new message. I hope it was a timely message. I hope we can see that God wants to bless our lives tonight in these basic thoughts. What a theme for a missions conference. Come over into Macedonia and help us. There's two sides to the Macedonian call. There's Paul's side. He went. There's the Macedonian side. And they got saved. And they got baptized. And their lives changed. Who can say, Brother DeLong, Pastor Angel, God has spoke to my heart tonight. I need to get involved in the ministries of this church. I need to follow the Macedonian call that God has for my life. I need to serve. I need to be part. Would you pray for me that I'd have the faith to step out like Paul, have the direction like Luke and Timothy, and follow the Holy Spirit in my life? Would you pray for me that I'll do that? Could you raise your hand as a testimony? Pray for me that I would do that. Many, many hands. Second thought is this. Maybe you're called to be a missionary tonight. I don't know your hearts. You've heard the preaching and the teaching of Pastor Angel and the direction of this church, but you never said, tonight, God has spoke to my heart. God does not want me to go to New Guinea. God does not want me to go to Romania. God does not want me to go to these other countries, but God has worked on my heart to go to this certain country. He's turning my heart. He's convincing my heart. He is convicting my heart. And I need to answer that call tonight. Could you raise your hand and say, pray for me that I'll answer that call. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? The last thought is this, to send. May I be the church member. May I be the part of this church ministry that will give to missions to send these missionaries out that have answered the Macedonian call in their lives. And Father, we pray these things in your name. Pastor Angel.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Nighttime need. They're still calling. They're still praying with urgency for help. What a challenging message. What a challenging conference. Have you presented yourself to the Lord? To go, to send, to pray, to be involved here. I hope you'll hear the Holy Spirit voice tonight as He led all these men, orchestrated all these circumstances and situations. He will do the same in our lives today. If you're here, you do not know that you're saved. He talked about salvation tonight. And if you're not sure that you're saved, you can find from the Word of God what He can help you tonight, show you from the Bible how to be saved. You just come. We'll have somebody talk to you. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed, ladies. We're playing a song of invitation. As the Lord leads, you obey. And what way God wants you to tonight. It's that still, small, tender voice of the Holy Spirit spoken to you.